blackbird has spoken, like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing, fresh from the world.
The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Hello, welcome to our service today on the 13th of September 2020. My name is Stephen Dove and I'll be guiding us through our worship time together. I want to say, whoever you are welcome here. And I'm so pleased from my sofa that you have chosen to join me on your sofa, on your garden table, or even from your bed. Welcome, wherever you have chosen to join me from. I hope, like me, that you've got a nice cup of something warm and that you're ready to engage with God this morning. It doesn't matter what kind of week you've had, whether it's been good or bad, we gather together in the realness of life. And in that same vein, we pray this prayer together as we begin. May this time be good for us, in body, mind, and spirit. For we gather in the presence of God, who made us and loves us and will never leave us. Amen. Amen. Last week we finished our Old Testament series with Queen Esther. But today, Chris Hill, our team rector, will be sharing a little bit of some vision with us this morning. So do hold on and join us with that a little bit later on. But for now, we're going to start with some worship songs. This is an opportunity for us to praise God with music. You might like to sing along or just read the lyrics as they go by. You might just want to close your eyes and let the music wash over you. This is your time to engage with God and music together. Here we go.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, he is my song. You are good, good. You are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh. Let the King of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves, oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days, oh, he is my song. You are good, good, oh, you are good, good. Never gonna let me down. You're 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 never gonna let me down. 'Cause you are good, good.
Thank you.
time for our Bible reading, which today will be read by Duncan and is Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 22. After that, we'll be straight over to Chris, who'll be giving our message today.
This morning's reading is from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 22, Saul's conversion. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found anywhere who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground, and he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what to do." The men travelling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind, and he did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision. "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for whom he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. He has come here with the authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go to this man, my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul in Damascus and Jerusalem. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who called on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah.
Hello everyone. We believe in the Ely team that our mission is to bring God's love into every home in Ely and across the villages. We want to do that because we believe that as each new family embraces Jesus and allows his Holy Spirit to transform them, so our community will be changed. Loneliness will be reduced, misunderstandings will be fewer, bitterness will melt away, marriages will be strengthened, and our children's mental health will improve. Our mission echoes Jesus' command to proclaim the good news to all nations, and we all have our part to play in this mission. We are all contributors. As I led morning prayers one morning last week, I was sat in the church rooms with WhatsApp because the internet was down in our house. We were listening as a group to Danny Gokey's version of Give Me Jesus, and it was as if the finger was removed from the dam, and I just wept. I wept over the state of our city, I wept over the state of our nation and the world, and I wept over how little I was personally doing to bring hope into our community and how unworthy I felt of God's love. And I just cried and cried and cried. Fortunately, in WhatsApp, no one else can see you. But it seems to me, as it seemed to me then, there is nothing more vital than sharing the good news of Jesus, helping others to discover his amazing grace. And I believe God wants to mobilise us to become purveyors of hope in our neighbourhoods. So how do we make this happen? What should our approach be? We've just heard the story of Paul and Ananias. It's such a story of good news, isn't it? Such a story of grace. And it shines a light on how we might achieve our quest of stirring everyone in Ely to discover God's love. As our story begins, we are with Saul, who is full of what he describes as zeal for the Lord. But he'd misunderstood the good news of Jesus. He felt that Jesus was misleading Israel and that his church was part of the problem. So the first time we meet Paul in the Bible, he's presiding over the stoning, the murder of a follower of Jesus called Stephen. In death, Stephen was an incredible witness to Jesus. He fell on his knees as he was being killed and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And then he died. And there was Saul, approving of the murder. Yes, Saul had extreme zeal, but it was misplaced zeal. And then something happened that turned Saul's life upside down. That would change the history of the world. That would completely reverse the way every follower of Jesus, including you and me, would look at our fellow human beings. Saul is on his way to Damascus with a warrant to continue his murderous activities when suddenly there was a light around him. Now, a few humans during their lives are given a profound experience of God, an experience so shattering it changes them forever. Maybe that's happened to you. Maybe we should pray for it. Maybe what I described happening to me at prayers was a mini version of that sort of encounter. But Saul here has a profound experience and he falls to the ground. I wonder what he's feeling. Up to this point, he's been very, very sure of himself. He's been clear about what he thinks God wants. Maybe he thinks, like Moses, he's about to see the glory of God, that his zeal is about to be rewarded. I wonder about his emotions, his expectations, his heart rate. He falls to the ground, and then for him, the inconceivable happens. Instead of being commended by God for his zeal, he is rebuked for it. "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" he is asked. He's confused. Surely he's been doing the work of God. Surely he is a hero of Israel. But here he is being condemned. So he asks, "Who are you, Lord?" Maybe it's the first time Saul has asked that question, "Who are you, Lord?" He instinctively knows it's God talking to him, but he is quickly realising that he does not know God like he thought he knew God. There are moments, aren't there, when we ask that question, "Who are you, Lord? What do you want from me?" We ask it with all our soul and heart and mind and strength. We want to know the answer more than anything in the world. We all have such moments. And with Paul, there is a moment of silence. And Saul doesn't yet know it, but this moment is the end of his old life and the beginning of a new one. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," the voice says. "Every time you harm, every time you threaten, every time you kill a brother or sister who follows me, you persecute me. Now get up and you'll be told what to do." You see, Saul had been right about God being at work in the world, but terribly misguided about how to follow him. So he is literally blinded by the encounter. And yet in his heart, Saul finally sees the sort of zeal that God requires. Not the zeal to kill your enemies, but the zeal to give your life on their behalf. The zeal God is looking for is the zeal to love, the zeal to forgive, the zeal to embrace, the zeal to identify with others, the zeal to understand, the zeal to break down barriers, the zeal to realise, in repentance, that those we thought were enemies are in fact also loved by God. Saul, now blind, is led by the hand to a home in Damascus, where for 3 days he fasts and prays. Meanwhile, God appears in a vision to a follower of Jesus named Ananias. And he says, "Ananias, I want you to go to this house and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul and pray for his sight to be restored." Now it's Ananias' turn to have his world overturned. He balks at the idea. "Look, Lord, I'm all in for your way of life, but this is madness. Surely you know that Saul has it in for your people. Please don't make me do this." But our Heavenly Father means it. "Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to bring good news to the whole world outside Israel." And of course, that is exactly what happened. Paul moved to the edge of this community. He went on to be with those who hadn't heard of God before. He went to the other side of the wall, outside the national boundary, and he planted churches across the known world, amongst those nations previously scorned by Israel. Have you noticed that God's hope for us often takes us out of our comfort zone, out of our depth? Peace often comes after we've obeyed God, not necessarily before we obey. So Ananias goes and knocks, and Saul is brought to the door. What's Ananias thinking now? He may have had friends or relatives imprisoned or even killed by this man, and yet he opens his mouth to speak. He places his hands on Saul and says, "Brother Saul." Just think about that for a moment. Brother Saul. It seems followers of Jesus are to treat people who differ from them, treat those who might even persecute them, by placing their hand on them and saying, "Sister, brother." What kind of movement is this that we are being called to be part of? What kind of people are we being called to be? And Ananias' radical, loving action triggers a 180-degree turn in Saul. Starts with a name change, he becomes Paul, signalling a completely fresh start. And from that moment, Paul became radically inclusive, imitating Jesus, who loved and served and cared for and touched people of other races and religions, pagan Canaanites, Roman centurions, Samaritans, lepers. Of course, Jesus is the model. In the end, when people hated him, Jesus did not take a spear in his hands. He took a spear in his side. So Jesus bursts through the barriers of Paul's human religion, and as Paul responds to him, listens to him, follows him, God somehow takes care of all the rest. No longer judgmental, no longer sowing fear, no longer cold or callous, Paul is living a new zeal. Bless those who persecute you. Bless others. Love them. Care for them. Die for them. So what does this story mean for us, as we seek to live out God's way of life today in Ely and the villages? What does it mean in practice for the way we relate to people, our family, our neighbourhood, our school, our workplace, and in particular those who differ from us? It seems we're not being called to out-argue other people, but to invite them to sit down with us, to treat them as brother and sister, to listen to their story, to be curious, to care, to assume we might have something to learn from them. So I invite every one of us to listen with love. And before you finish this service today, please write down the name of one person in your life who is different to you, or who has a difference with you, and just start to pray for them. Pray that you might start a conversation, a relationship with them. Ask them about their spiritual journey, how their traditions have shaped their life. Now, there's no pressure on this. You don't have to make a sales pitch, but just honour them, love them, walk alongside them, demonstrating the good news of Jesus with your very life. And as our chosen person becomes curious, we can simply remind them that Jesus calls out to anybody, "Follow me, follow me, follow me." And don't forget, Paul had only just got his sight back. The disciples were not best pleased with Paul's transformation. But we are told that once they got used to the idea and everything calmed down, the church really started to grow. So whatever the opportunity, wherever God takes us, however unlikely it looks to us, better to be excited about it and get going with it, especially if he's taking us to knock on a door of someone not quite like us in this city. There is a great story of Arthur Burns told by John Ortberg. Arthur Burns was the head of the Federal Reserve, a man of immense gravitas, a remarkable man, who began to attend an informal White House prayer group. It was a Christian group based on Jesus' teachings. Now, Arthur Burns was Jewish, so when it was time for prayer, nobody ever called on Arthur Burns to lead prayers because they thought it might be awkward. They thought he might feel awkward. Then one week, a newcomer was leading the group and he didn't know about any of this. And so he turned to Arthur Burns and asked him to pray. And the old timers wondered what in the world would happen next. And everybody bowed their head and joined their hands and he began to pray. And this is what he prayed. "Lord, may all Jews come to know Jesus Christ. May all Muslims come to know Jesus Christ. May all Buddhists come to know Jesus Christ. May all atheists come to know Jesus Christ. May all Christians come to know Jesus Christ." It's simple. We are called to come to know Jesus Christ, to represent him in all of our friendships, however different the other person is to us, however unlikely it may seem to us. Because in doing that, we are fulfilling our calling to reach every home in Ely with God's love. So let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for this Jesus who has a way of transcending every barrier, breaching every dividing wall, who has a way of bringing people together in him. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for every single human being in this city and in the surrounding villages of any faith and of no faith, that they may come to know you, Jesus. Lord, would you give us the right sort of zeal? Zeal to love, to care for, and to listen. Zeal to love and learn and share with. I pray for each one of us here, wherever any of us is on our spiritual journey, that each of us, filled by your Holy Spirit, would be enabled to enter into relationships of love and honour with all types of people around us, so that they come to know and love this Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I repeat again our hope that every home in Ely would experience the love of Jesus because of the way we live out our faith, the way we listen, the way we love, the way we serve and risk. And I'd like to play that song now that I was listening to when I broke down in tears. It's been recorded by our own bands this week, and I think it says so much. Give me Jesus. Amen.
When I rise, oh, in the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You may have all the world, but give me Jesus. Give me
We come now to our time of prayer. And today we're going to structure our prayers using the teaspoon method of prayer, which is based on the abbreviation for teaspoon is TSP. So first we're going to say thank you to God. Then we're going to say sorry to God. And then we're going to say please. We're going to ask God for things. And what I'm simply going to do is play some music. And there'll be a prompt on the screen for you to move between saying thank you and then saying sorry and then saying please. And at the end of that, we'll conclude by saying the Lord's Prayer together. Let us pray. And so we pray, thank you. And we now come to a time where we say sorry. And finally, we say, please. And we draw all our prayers together in the Lord's Prayer. And once again, I'm leading, so I've taken it from the New Zealand Anglican Prayer Book. Let us pray. Loving God, in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. in the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now it's time for our final worship. Let us praise God together.
No guilt.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and long for to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
There's nothing come close, no thing can compare. You're
And so we remind ourselves that we go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. And a final prayer. Let's pray this together. God of power, may the boldness of your Spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your Spirit lead us. And may the gifts of your Spirit equip us to serve and worship you, now and always. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for joining me this morning. And also a big thank you to everyone who has played their part, filming something, recording something, or working behind the scenes to make this service possible. Thank you. We couldn't do it without you. If you'd like to get involved, either in our online services or our in-person services, do please get in touch. We'd be really excited to hear from you and to get you involved in what is going on. And so, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. I have been Stephen. You have been great as ever. Hope to see you soon. Bye.